My brothers and sisters, this is one of the most important lessons in the spiritual life. The greatest adventure of your life is discovering God's plan and God's purpose for you. Everything in the spiritual life hinges upon you doing God's will in the present moment. This listening for the voice of God and struggling to do His will is the foundation of spiritual warfare. Think about the life of an angel. They heard the will of God. The good angels said, "Yes, thy will be done." They go off to the beatific vision for all eternity. The evil angels heard the will of God and rejected it, and they are experiencing their damnation for all of eternity. They carry hell with them everywhere they go. Unfortunately, we hear the word spiritual warfare and our minds go to the extreme. We think of exorcism. We think of a demon beating somebody up. We think of books flying off the shelves. We get a little bit scared, and that's quite unfortunate. Because real spiritual warfare that happens 99% of the time has happened to us all day long, and we haven't even noticed it. And it revolves around us becoming the men and women that God created us to be, accepting God's holy will and going forward with victory and grace and peace in our souls. The goal of the fallen angel, of course, first and foremost, is to get us to commit mortal sin. Because when we commit a mortal sin, we reject God as our Father. We are no longer members of the body of Christ. We are no longer heirs to the kingdom of God. We are objectively under the dominion of Satan. We are heirs to hell. We do not have the protection or the provision of God the Father because we have rejected Him. And unfortunately, so many people live under the dominion of the devil and are living in mortal sin. If you're living in mortal sin, I will help you in another video to break the chains that bind you, to surrender your life over to God so that you can live in the state of grace and fulfill God's plan for your life. But in this video, I want to help you to overcome the secondary attack of the devil that happens from morning until evening, and that is, if you're living in the state of grace, to go about your religion, doing your own will, and just running to God when you need something. The devil just wants you to go to God when you need something. Because if you go to God at every single moment, and you discern God's will for your life, and you do His will for your life, then you go from average, lukewarm, to on fire, and grace is flowing into your life in the lives of everyone that you love. The will of God is so essential that it should become our obsession. What is so special about the will of God? When we commit ourselves to do God's will at every moment, for example, you're a mother, it is God's will for you to change a diaper. If you change that diaper out of love for God, because it is His will, not because it's dirty and it has to get done. It's dirty and it has to get done, but you offer this to Almighty God. It is as if Jesus Christ Himself is changing that diaper, because you are only doing it because it is the holy will of God. Saint Teresa of Avila says that Jesus has no feet, Jesus has no hands except for yours. And when you accept the duties of the present moment because they are God's will, that duty, no pun intended concerning the dirty diaper, that duty becomes grace-filled. Many of you are praying novenas to Our Lady Undoer of Knots for the conversion of a loved one. And that is very important. Our Lady of Fatima said that many souls go to hell because there's nobody to pray for them. But then she added a word, penance. There's nobody to pray and do penance. There's nobody to pray and make sacrifices. So when you sacrifice that thing that makes you you, when you sacrifice your will for the will of God, that activity becomes grace-filled. So your prayer lasts the length of your prayer. But if everything you do is conformed to the will of God out of love for God, everything you do is an act of sacrifice. Everything you do is a tunnel, a portal for grace to flow into the lives of the people that you love the most. A lot of times we look at the New Testament and we see all of the miracles of Jesus Christ. We see the miracles that are worked in the Acts of the Apostles and we say, wow, if I could just witness one of those miracles, I give you my word, the secret to unleashing the power of Christ today, as in the New Testament, is by submitting your will to the holy will of God. Do you want God to work powerfully in your life? Discern God's will and do it. Do you want God to speak powerfully through you? Discern God's will and preach it. My brothers and sisters, God has put a longing in our hearts. St. Augustine says that our hearts are restless until they rest in God, and that is true. But our hearts are restless not only until they rest in God, but until we actively participate in God's will, God's plan for our lives. When we do that, everything changes. So how do I know what God's will is? Obviously, the duties of my state in life. It's very simple. What you would normally do for yourself, pause and say, Lord, I offer this to you. I unite this to some aspect of your public ministry. It doesn't have to be fancy words. Just lift your mind and your heart up to God in the duties that you find yourself doing in the present moment. But God's will for you goes beyond that. It goes beyond just what is my vocation. God is calling us at every moment to submit our wills to His will. And this requires a listening. Most of us don't do God's will in any particular extraordinary way because we don't know what God's voice sounds like. So what does the voice of God sound like? When I speak of the voice of God, I am not talking about audible things that you hear in your ears, although you could hear the voice of God proclaimed through the Gospels. I am not talking about interior voices that you hear in your head, that interior monologue that you have this conversation with yourself. God could speak in that instance, but that is not the ordinary means by which God communicates. In fact, I recommend you not trust your interior monologue unless, and I'll give you that unless in a moment, the interior monologue in your mind is easily manipulated by your own self-love and your own self-will. Now, I'm going to talk to you about how God ordinarily communicates. Then I will come back to this interior monologue. The voice of God is a movement of the soul. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the great spiritual master, would say, the good spirit, this would be God, your guardian angel, saints, the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, Jesus. When the good spirit is speaking to you, your heart is inflamed with love. Increases of charity, hope, faith. You're hearing a talk. All of a sudden, you feel very inspired to pray the rosary or to go to confession. These movements to be good, when your will is set on the good, this is how God communicates. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, you're at a grocery store. An elderly man right in front of you drops his wallet. He doesn't notice it. You notice it falls to the ground. All of a sudden, you feel this surge in your heart. You did not hear a voice audibly with your ears. You felt something in your soul that moved you to quickly get that wallet, chase after that man and say, excuse me, sir, you dropped your wallet. That urging, that tugging to do good, that wasn't a voice that you heard, but that was the voice of God speaking to you. If you could give words to that tugging on your soul, those words would say, quickly, give him his wallet. So when the Catechism, especially in paragraph 1776, you can learn more about this there, says that the voice of God rings out so that you know his will in the present moment, we're not talking about something audibly. We're talking about a tugging on the heart to do good, to sacrifice, to pray more. When you are experiencing these increases of love, faith, hope, charity, when you have tears, not of sadness because somebody broke your heart, but tears of joy or tears of repentance, these are all what we would call communications from God. We would call this a time of consolation. Now, I said the heart. If you think about the word heart, if you remove the T from the end of the word heart, you have the word here. If you remove the H from the front of the word heart, you have the word now ear. So in your heart, at the center of your heart, we say, I have an ear that is attentive to the voice of God. Now, besides this overwhelming tugging on the heart, sometimes I will have an illumination in the intellect. Usually, but not always, this is a communication from your guardian angel. Because angels are pure intellects, they communicate with one another with illuminations. So if all of a sudden you're praying about a certain circumstance and the answer enters your mind, enters the intellect, all of a sudden, there's an understanding. It's like if a light bulb went off. Oh, if I do this one thing, everything else is going to fall into place. You can see it perfectly. That would also be a way that God communicates through the good spirit. Now, earlier I said, sometimes God does use that interior monologue that is in your mind. But when he does, this is an important principle taught by St. Teresa of Avila. When God speaks, he acts. So let's say, for example, you're before the Blessed Sacrament, you're praying fervently for a loved one who is really sick. You're praying and praying and praying. You have no clarity. You enter into a moment all of a sudden where there's stillness, there's peace in the soul. Again, peace is a sign of the presence of God. And you hear in your intellect, trust me, I am with your relative. I will be by their side. They're suffering and they are close to me. How do I know if this is made up by me in my interior monologue or if this comes from God? St. Teresa of Avila said, when God speaks, he acts. So if he says to you in your interior monologue, you hear it in your head, so to speak, trust me. That trust that he says here instantaneously enters the heart. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, trust, and there's trust. He said, be at peace, my child, I love you, I'm with you. You didn't just hear it here, you felt it here. And this is the voice of God. This is essential. The spiritual master, St. Ignatius of Loyola, says, in times of consolation, when you can hear the voice of God as if he's face to face with you, when you can look at the Blessed Sacrament and you're overwhelmed with peace in your heart, this presence, this is the time that you make resolutions because you can hear clearly. An analogy is God is like a coach encouraging you to go forward. Even when you fall, he says, get up. Come on, get up. Keep moving forward. Don't look back. Don't look back. Keep going. Run, run, run. He says, you need to pray more. You need to sacrifice more. You need to do this. You need to do that. So the voice of God, when you're trying to be good, is an encourager. He's pushing you forward. Now, everything concerning the evil spirit is the opposite. He's a discourager. He doesn't want you going forward. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He wants you to sin. He wants you to abandon all of your good and holy practices. But this is the difficulty. The voice of the enemy is often very subtle. I alluded to this earlier. You hear his voice all the time. What do I mean? According to St. Ignatius of Loyola, the voice of the bad spirit sounds a lot like your voice. So he's going to discourage. It's time to do your prayers. You made a resolution to pray the rosary. He's going to sound a lot like your own voice. You're busy today. Oh my goodness, it's getting late. Oh my goodness, you're so tired. If you don't get to bed, you're going to have a terrible morning. Don't pray the rosary tonight. Don't do your examination of conscience tonight. So the devil uses the path of least resistance. He causes darkness in the soul. He encourages you to give up your good resolutions. He tempts you to lower and earthly things. Now, this is the ordinary attack of the devil. It's usually a message in the intellect. So we don't want to necessarily trust this. We test the spirits in all things. Sometimes if we listen to this voice, Darkness will enter our souls, and it will be very difficult to shake this darkness. So the evil one, according to the spiritual masters, it's like you're in your house. You're in a fortified city, and somebody's knocking on the door. That door knock is doubt. That door knock is an invitation to sin. Knock, knock, knock. And if you open the door, the moment you begin to open the door, how easy now? Oh, I get my arm in there. I'll stick my leg through the door. You're listening to this voice. Once you begin to listen to this seductive voice, it's easy to shove it wide open and break into the house and plunder the soul. And so it's very important, according to the spiritual masters, when you hear these voices of discouragement, when you hear these inclinations to sin begin to be audible in your mind. For example, you're home alone. Wow. Well, you're home alone. Nobody's home. Why don't you open up the computer? Nobody will find out. So you hear all of this rationalization encouraging you to sin. Stop immediately. Put an end to it. So I'm going to give you some rules to follow according to St. Ignatius of Loyola. Now you can see why this is true spiritual warfare. This isn't about casting demons out of a possessed person. This is about choosing God's will in the present moment. And it's a war because there is a wrestling. This is a cycle of spiritual movements, times of consolation, times of desolation. And the secret is, listen in consolation, reject in desolation. Let me give you one quick example. This is an analogy. It did not happen. I'm making this story up, but I could see how this would happen. So full disclosure, I am not a good cook, but let's say, for example, I am cooking my famous tacos and I tell my son, I need you to go to the store to buy the ingredients. In Texas, the greatest store, the favorite store of God, in my opinion, in Texas is H-E-B. Wow, it's one of the greatest stores. I say, my son, go to H-E-B and get the taco seasoning. But this is very important. Listen to me, son. Look into my eyes. Pay very close attention because what I'm going to tell you doesn't necessarily make sense. My secret ingredient is not in the Mexican spices section. It's not in the section where you would think it is. It's in the Asian section of the aisle. I need you to get Korean chili powder. And I tell him a very specific label. Miss Kim's Korean chili powder, flakes and paste. Are you listening to me? Yes, Dad, I'm listening. He goes to H-E-B. He forgets the name. He knows it's something Asian. Oh, no. He tries to get his phone out. At H-E-B, it's like a fortified city in there. There's no signal. He can't talk to me. Oh, Dad, I forget. What am I supposed to do? You said something Asian. And he looks worried. He looks confused. An Asian woman is saying to herself, this poor white boy, he doesn't know what spices to buy. Let me help him. And she says, son, what are you trying to look for? And he says, my dad is making tacos. And then she says, wow, this guy's more confused than I could have ever imagined. He's even in the complete wrong aisle. And she says, well, you're in the wrong aisle. He says, no, my dad says it's in the Asian aisle. She said, trust me, I'm a great cook. You go to the Mexican section and then you buy taco seasoning. This is what you're supposed to use for tacos. Common sense, the best one is mamacitas. And so he says, oh, okay. And then he goes and he buys it and he comes home. And I'm like, what's wrong with you, my friend? Did I not tell you? Did I not? This is an example of the spiritual life. When we see God face to face, when we hear his voice, we keep those resolutions. In the case of this made-up scenario of my beautiful son, who's very smart and whom I love, what should he have done when he heard clearly? I know many of you people are saying, well, of course, you got to make a grocery list or else you're going to forget. Exactly. If you're going to make a list for your groceries, how much more important is it when God is telling you what you need for your soul? In moments of consolation, write it down. I'm not saying to keep a journal of how you feel. It's not a bad thing, but I'm saying keep a journal of what God is telling you, your rule of life. Very, very important. So this is an example of when in desolation, don't make a change. It's an analogy. Let's say, for example, your resolution is, I'm going to go to confession on Mondays. I'm going to pray the rosary in the morning. I'm going to pray the rosary before I go to bed. I am going to do all these various things. Don't change those resolutions unless you are having a moment of consolation. You hear God clearly. God is the one who makes a correction. When you're struggling to live God's will, that is not the time to change. When you have the devil whispering in your ear, that is not the time to change. So according to Ignatius of Loyola, what do you do when you are being tempted to sin? When you're being tempted to abandon your good resolutions, St. Ignatius of Loyola says, fight back. Fight back with exactly the plan that you had at your previous consolation. And not only that, but to fight back firmly with conviction. He uses an analogy that would not go over so well today. I'm going to say it because I've already piqued your interest. He said that the enemy of your soul is a lot like a bickering woman, and you're a man, a strong man. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to use this analogy because we're very sensitive. I'm going to use the analogy of a barking dog. So you have this dog barking at you and barking at you. Stop, stop, stop. And what do? No, I am not afraid of you. Oh, and the dog backs off. So when you are being tempted to quit, when you're being tempted to lust, when you're being tempted to not pray, you say, no, let's do this. I'm going to pray even further. I'm going to pray even harder, because if you're tempting me, that means something good is going to happen and you want me to quit. And this is what happened in the previous video. Many of you were experiencing some spiritual pushback because you began to pray the rosary. You began to do the undoer of knots novena, and the devil did not want you to do that. So he's like, oh. And what did I say? Fight back, fight back, fight back. Okay, so besides fighting back, it's important that you understand that the Blessed Mother has been given to us by God specifically to crush the head of the serpent. So if you think about the words that we've been using, consolation, desolation, the one who brings desolation is who? The bad spirit. Who has the promise from God to crush the head of the bad spirit? The Blessed Virgin Mary. So you crush his head within and through her. Consolation. Who is the consoler? The Holy Spirit. Who is the spouse of the Holy Spirit? The Blessed Virgin Mary. And so when we hear terms and phrases from the lives of the saints who say things like this, they say, after the sacred liturgy, the rosary is the most powerful prayer. After the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the greatest prayer is the Holy Rosary. And this is said by popes, this is said by saints. The greatest prayer, what does that mean? The greatest at what? Well, the rosary is the greatest at disposing the soul to receive grace in the sacraments. The rosary is the greatest for crushing the head of the serpent, for destroying vice. The rosary is the greatest for the discernment of the will of God. The rosary is the greatest to be given the strength to do God's holy will, to hear God's voice. So one of the things that I said earlier was that your life is going to be an oscillation. Consolation and desolation. One of the reasons why most people do not persevere in the spiritual life is because they lack constancy. St. Louis de Montfort says that true devotion, a sign of having true devotion, is constancy. And this is why the daily rosary is so essential, because you get in the habit of praying it in good times and in bad. You get in the habit of saying a prayer that is about 15 minutes long. Sometimes it can be so dry. Sometimes it can be so dry. But what that does, spiritual maturity. And if you pray it well, if you pray it well, oof, the benefits are extraordinary. Let me just go through a couple. One of the first ingredients that makes the rosary so powerful for knowing God's will and doing God's will is death to self. So the overwhelming majority of us, we don't know God's will, we don't do God's will, sadly, because we prefer our own will. I want what I want. I think I know what will make me happy. And so I don't even give God the space to know his will, because I am so consumed with my will that I only ask him to do my will. And it's like, I am God. I control God. I tell him what I want and what is good for me. And so when you pray the rosary, it necessitates a death to self. 50 Hail Marys at a time, my will is put to death. And this destruction of my own will makes space in my heart to hear the voice of God. So first and foremost, there's the crushing of the soil. I'm going to use a gardening as my analogy. The praying of the rosary crushes the soil. It beats the dry and barren soil. Then the vocal prayer, the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. By saying words of sacred scripture, a lot of things happen. First, St. Dominic compared the Hail Mary to rain coming down from heaven. So the soil is broken. I am now watering the soil of my soul with the angelic salutation, the divine fertile rains that came down from heaven before the implantation of the seed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So I am watering the soil. On top of that, repeating the words of sacred scripture, I am stirring up the power of the Holy Spirit. It is as if a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit is stirring around me, which is blocking off the voice of the enemy. The enemy cannot stand the Hail Mary. Father Gabriel Amorth said that to the demon, when we pray a Hail Mary, it is like a blow on his head. And I said, wow, well, they don't have a body. So why are you blowing on his head? Why are you hitting his head with a hammer? Because the demon is pure intellect, pure pride, and what was the beginning of the end of Satan? Hail Mary, full of grace. So it's a strike to his pride. The heel crushes his head. So by praying this, the voice of the enemy is removed. Also, this is an invocation to the Virgin Mary. Pray for me now and at the hour of my death. And an invocation to Mary is efficacious. Never was it known that anybody who called upon her was ever left unaided. But it's not over. When we pray the Holy Rosary, we encounter Jesus Christ. When we pray it well, using the methods of mental prayer, I will explain the methods of mental prayer in a later video, one thing at a time. When we pray the Rosary well, we are meditating on the life of Jesus in such a way that I am present there. So for example, I am visualizing the crucifixion of Christ. I am visualizing it as if I'm present. I have the Holy Spirit stirring around me. I am now in the gospel, the most fruitful place to encounter Christ. And this meditation on the life of Christ is the seed, is the life of God being planted in my soul. My soul is now fertile and the tree of life begins to grow inside of my soul. And when I am in this mental picture of the gospel, I am reminded of Christ. I am reminded of the meaning of life. I am reminded of sacrifice and suffering. More than all of this mental memory, more of this renewal that happens just from meditation, I come into contact with Jesus Christ. I begin to experience his presence and he begins to communicate with me. So let's say I'm going through a trial. I'm sacrificing for the sake of a loved one. I love this person so much. They're going through a trial. I'm trying to fight for them, but I'm dry. So let's say you're praying the fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion of Jesus, and you're praying this for the conversion of your daughter because she has really gone astray and your heart is aching and you don't know if you can keep going. So you're visualizing Jesus crucified as if you're really present. You see the nails through his hands. You see his feet are bleeding. He's struggling to breathe and you pour your heart out to him. Lord, my daughter has been away from the church for so long. She has so many self-destructive habits. I'm praying for her. I'm sacrificing for her. I feel like nothing is working. I don't know how long I can keep doing this, Jesus. And Jesus lifts his eyes and they lock with yours and you hear it interiorly. Keep praying, keep sacrificing. No sacrifice is in vain. Look at me. I love your daughter. I love you. I sacrificed my life for both of you. Won't you join me on this cross? Won't you keep sacrificing for her? I promise you, I'm with you. And as you hear this interiorly in your mind, it's as if the words take flesh in your heart. And as he says, sacrifice, join me, interiorly, you are strengthened and you're given courage and you're given conviction and a new zeal to keep going. This is the secret of the saints. This is the secret of the martyrs. Where did the martyrs get the strength and the courage to sacrifice their very lives for Christ? Because if you think of some of the tortures they endured, Saint Bartholomew had his skin ripped from his flesh. Where did he get the strength? By mental prayer, by meditating on the Passion of Christ, looking into the life of Christ, coming into contact with Christ in this imaginatory prayer that really is efficacious. Theosis occurred. Divinization occurred in the case of Saint Bartholomew. He was made like God. He was given a special strength from God because of the mystery of the life of Christ. And the devil was telling Saint Bartholomew in this case, hey man, it's too much to suffer. Jesus will forgive you. No, Saint Bartholomew visualized Christ. The devil was put to shame, and now he's a great martyr and saint of the church. And this is what's going to happen in every single one of our lives. If the rosary becomes something that is constant, rain or shine, I'm going to do this prayer. If the rosary becomes my weapon to fight back the temptations of the devil, Our Lady will protect you. I give you my word. Now, let me give you a quick example of how this played out in my life just last week. So one morning, I was praying my Seven Sorrows rosary. It's a rosary in that I'm meditating on some aspect of the gospel. I'm saying the angelic salutation. While I'm praying it, Mary puts it in my heart. I didn't hear anything here. I just felt it in the depths of my soul. And this is what I trust, these movements of the heart. She said, my children are struggling. I need you to make a video following up, encouraging them to fight because many of them are quitting. I heard that. I received that. I believed it in the morning. Then my car had to have some work done in it. I wasn't feeling very well. I was tired. A lot of things were coming up. I'm taking the car to get the air conditioning fixed. It's who knows how long that's going to take. So I have my mom pick me up and bring me back. I'm praying in the car by myself. I'm not praying the rosary. I'm just interiorly trying to have a conversation with God. And in my mind, in my interior monologue, I heard, don't worry about this video. You don't need to do it. You already do so much. You made the original invitation to the undoer of knots. That's enough. And I said, Blessed Mother, is this you? And I heard, yes, this is me. Sounded like what I think that the Blessed Mother would sound like in my mind. But I didn't feel that in my heart. So the number one way to discern God's will takes place inside the soul, becoming familiar with these movements. It takes practice. It takes time. And so I returned to my rosary and I am meditating on the Passion of Christ and I am asking the question again because this just didn't seem right. Earlier, I felt it in my soul and I felt it. Here, I heard it, but I didn't feel it. And I was really like, I wanted to believe this. I was tired. I didn't want to do this. I don't have time for this. I would have to give the talk perfectly on my first take. Like, I just can't do it. I'm too weak. I begin to pray. I'm visualizing the crucifixion. I ask Christ at the crucifixion, Jesus, what do you want of me? I did not hear anything here, but when I looked into his face and he can barely open his mouth, he's gasping for air. He can barely lift even one eye to look at me. Again, this is all in my imagination. My soul knew what I had to do. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to fight for my people? Then make that video. But Lord, I can't do it in one take. You're right. And this is one of the secrets to overcoming the attacks of the devil. When the devil tempts us, he tempts us with a half truth. And the secret is the full truth. Humility is the truth about who I am and the truth about who God is. The truth about who I am weak. I am weak. I am human. I'm weak. But the truth about who is God is not weak. God is strong. God is capable of anything. So true humility is a healthy distrust of myself, but also a healthy confidence in what God can do. And so he's telling me, you're weak, yes, but I am strong and I am your strength and I want you to go and I want you to record that. And if it takes you editing it in the car, and I did, I edited on the way to pick up my car from getting the air conditioning fixed while my mom is driving, I'm editing away. And thanks be to God, because I looked at the comments from that video. I encourage you to go to the comments. And there are hundreds of people who would have quit because they encountered some spiritual pushback. My brothers and sisters, fight. Now, today that I'm filming this is August 22nd, the Queenship of Mary. It doesn't matter when you're watching this. I believe that today is like day 17 or 18. I don't know exactly what day it is. It doesn't really matter. If you're doing the 54-day novena to Our Lady and Doer of Knots, keep going, keep fighting. We are in St. Michael's Lent. St. Michael's Lent is a time where we offer sacrifice and we fight back against the wickedness and the snares of the devil, of course, under the banners of Jesus, Mary, and St. Michael. So the next video, I will be discussing with you the extraordinary attacks of the devil. Today was the ordinary attacks of the devil. These little whispers to be bad, I can overcome that with virtues. I can overcome that with a quick prayer. But so many people experience the extraordinary attacks of the devil and they have no idea because he likes to remain hidden. So I will give you some insights into these extraordinary attacks, and also I will give you weapons to fight back and be victorious. Let's conclude by praying our Undoer of Knots novena prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Virgin Mary, Mother of fair love, Mother who never refuses to come to the aid of a child in need, Mother whose hands never cease to serve your beloved children because they are moved by the divine love and immense mercy that exists in your heart, cast your compassionate eyes upon me and see the snarl of knots that exist in my life. You know very well how desperate I am, my pain, and how I am bound by these knots. Mary, Mother to whom God entrusted the undoing of the knots in the lives of His children, I entrust into your hands the ribbon of my life. No one, not even the evil one himself, can take it away from your precious care. In your hands there is no knot that cannot be undone. Powerful Mother, by your grace and intercessory power with your Son and my Liberator Jesus, take into your hands today this knot. I beg you to undo it for the glory of God, once for all. You are my hope, O my Lady. You are the only consolation God gives me, the fortification of my feeble strength, the enrichment of my destitution, and with Christ, the freedom from my chains. Hear my plea. Keep me, guide me, protect me, O safe refuge. Mary, Undoer of Knots, pray for me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.